Up next on the program, time to talk a little football, Patriots style, joined on the phone by Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly, who pretty much is the king of New England here. He went all the way to the finals of Downtown Madness, edged out by that meth dealing Walter White to Bryan Cranston. I don't know. I'd have demanded a recount if it were me.
Me too. I'm looking for a recount, but we'll be back next year. Don't worry.
I have no doubt about it. And look, the best part of this is the fact that you can lord it over Giardi and the rest of them down there.
And believe me, I will. And there's nothing I like more than beating up on Mike Giardi. It's a fun time.
It is. It's always fun for us to have you on the show, Andy. And, well, gosh, the Patriots apparently just decided this draft is for the suckers. The very little participation, four guys or any of them expected to be any kind of impact players until 2018?
Well, first of all, I think we got a hint of what the Patriots thought of the draft, not only by the trades, which made it obvious, but when we hear now that I'm reading the game story of Maryland and John Topkins lacrosse from Saturday night, and in attendance in Maryland was Bill Belichick, who didn't even apparently stick around Foxborough for the end of the draft. So,
wow.
You know, it's a draft where you hear everybody from the outside and all these analysts, and it's deep at this position, it's great at defensive end, the cornerback as deep as it's been in a decade, blah, blah, blah. And the Patriots went out and they got two defensive ends and they got two tackles and called it a weekend, made a bunch of trades. We know the Cooks trade earlier, and we know the Ealy trade and all the things they did. I look at Derek Rivers and I think he's the only guy, because of his skill set married up with the need of the team, that really could contribute as a rookie this year. I think when you look at the defensive end position, Rob Ninkovich not getting any younger, and his production has come down each year for the last 3 years. Trey Flowers had the great second season, great Super Bowl, but is he ready to sort of be the guy? And then Coney Ealy, you trade for, is a guy that you don't know what he's going to be in the Patriots system. So, you know, you lost Jabal Sheard, you lost Chris Long in the offseason. I think there's definitely some reps to be had there. I think they may piece the pass rush together with guys like Dante Hightower, but I think Derek Rivers out of Youngstown State, you know, a little undersized, a little under 250, but has that 4.6 40 that Belichick targets as being ideal for that defensive end position. I think he's a guy that could get at least rotational reps as a rookie and try to contribute if he can pick up the system and stay healthy and all the other things that go with it. And then Antonio Garcia, the second pick there in the third round, I think he's a pick definitely for 2018. I think he is Nate Solder insurance. You know, if they can't sign him, he's in the final year of his contract, or if they choose to just move on, you know, maybe Garcia can be a swing backup tackle, extra tight end type. But I really just think it's Rivers for this year and not much else.
Well, we love Rivers up here. First of all, we love those FCS guys playing at the same level as the Maine Black Bears. But Derek Rivers was born in Augusta, Maine.
Yeah, it's not too often that you get a Patriots draft pick born in Maine who goes elsewhere, goes to Ohio to have his success on the football field. And he's an interesting guy, just, you know, Youngstown State, you know, the Bo Pelini connection, former Patriots assistant, former Nebraska coach who's at Youngstown State now. And, you know, I think Rivers is a guy that found success there at the Division I AA level, or whatever they call it now, FCS, but went to the Senior Bowl, impressed some people there. And yeah, so, you know, I thought it was interesting, if you watch the video on Patriots.com in the war room, one of the first things that Mr. Kraft said to Rivers was that, you know, he found it interesting that he had just heard that he was actually born in Maine. So he's always been a New Englander, even though he hasn't, you know, had the success on the football field in New England that hopefully will come in the near future.
So as far as the Patriots go, would you say that between those trades and what they did acquire in the draft, have they addressed most of the major offseason needs?
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it and say before last Thursday, they could enter this draft, not take anyone, and they were still going to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. They were still going to be arguably the most talented roster in the NFL, because, you know, you compare it to other teams where they're, you know, obviously the huge need is quarterback, teams looking for quarterbacks. Well, the Patriots have two of them. You know, they believe they have two top 10 quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, two starting caliber quarterbacks. But I think it goes beyond that. You look at the running back position, I think is very deep. The pass catchers, which includes some of those running backs, but also, you know, the tight ends, the wide receivers, when you add a guy like Cooks to an already deep core from last year. I mean, it's to the point where fans are worried that Malcolm Mitchell, you know, the rookie from last year who was out there in the Super Bowl helping them, is he going to see his growth sort of slowed because they have too many options to turn to. And then on the defensive side of the ball, all this talk of, you know, they signed Gilmore, but you might lose Butler. Well, so far you haven't lost Butler, and I know fans are happy about that because it certainly looks like they could field, you know, one of the best cornerback duos in the National Football League this year if Butler is here. So, yeah, there's not a lot of weaknesses on this team, and it's certainly, you know, it's going to be one of those training camps, I think, where there'll be a lot of guys you assume are on the roster, and we know there's surprises at the end every year, and Bill will have a couple undrafted free agents that he falls in love with and maybe a couple surprise cuts. But, yeah, this is a really deep football team, and it's too early, but I know a lot of people have really, really high expectations for the coming season.
We're talking with Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly. It's really unprecedented what they've done to not just win the Super Bowl, lose guys, as always happens at that point, but then to go out and, I think, make the team even better in the last 3 months.
Yeah, I don't think it's hard to argue that this is a better football team on paper than it was a year ago. I don't think that's hard to argue at all. And when you're coming off a Super Bowl title and that's the reality, that's a fun place to start from. And, you know, it's not just the talent, but, you know, look at the coaching staff. Yeah. You keep Josh McDaniels, your offensive coordinator. You keep Matt Patricia, your defensive coordinator. You still have Bill Belichick. Usually, you know, Super Bowl teams lose a coordinator, you know, like the Falcons. They lose their offensive coordinator. And how is that going to affect Matt Ryan, your MVP, and their chances to return to the big game? Patriots have continuity at head coach, continuity on the assistant, and then talent continuity. If anything, they've gotten better with the addition of Gilmore. I mean, you know, he has going to have high expectations. When you sign a $13 million a year contract to the cornerback, you know, people are going to expect you're not going to allow any completions, and that's not reality. He's going to allow some completions, but you now pair him with Butler, you know, Rowe, who was such a key figure in the Super Bowl, is your third corner. You don't have to count on Cyrus Jones to have this epiphany in his second season. You know, when you have guys like Amendola taking pay cuts to stay, you know, you're hoping to get Gronk back healthy. It really is sort of an embarrassment of riches. And, you know, the one thing I think you look at, I guess, or the two things you'd look at are, can they stay healthy, which we know is so key, and is there going to be that chemistry? You know, there's going to be some guys that change, and does the chemistry in the locker room change? Because I think that was a strength of the team a year ago. But on paper, if you're just going strictly on the talent on paper, I think it's the better football team.
So are there really any questions that they need to answer during training camp?
Probably not. I mean, you could nitpick, you know, Steven Gostkowski. Is he going to have a bounce back year? We know how it went last year. He missed PATs. He missed field goals. He struggled. He missed the PAT in the Super Bowl that sort of changed the scoring opportunities down the stretch for them. Is he going to bounce back and get back to that all pro caliber that he was just a year earlier? I think some of the depth questions, I think the depth at running back and how the roles are divvied up. You know, Mike Gillisley is probably your lead back, but certainly we use the committee approach every year. We're used to seeing that, you know. So I how does Rex Burkhead fit into that? You know, is James White now the first passing back? Is Deion Lewis, you know, sort of falling behind that group? You know, those are the questions you're going to face. Can Gronk be healthy and be the guy that you want him to be for a full season that he was just a real short stint? You know, are starting jobs? No, there's not a lot of starting jobs up for grabs. There aren't a lot of roles up for grabs. This is a, you know, they used to say about Casey Jones and the Celtics, this is sort of roll it out there and let them compete. And that's what this team looks like it's going to be.
Andy, what do you think of the schedule looking ahead to next year?
I think it's interesting. The fact that they pushed off all the AFC games till the final month or so of the season. I don't know if that was coincidence because, you know, they put together all these various permutations of the schedule and the one they picked just happened to do that for the Patriots, or, you know, if it was an idea to push all those games back to give the teams a chance that, you know, maybe they can be in the mix at that point and those games will have meaning in the AFC East. But I think that jumped out at me. The fact that they get, to me, a nice little benefit of back-to-back weeks, go to Denver and then go to Mexico City to take on the Raiders, which I think opens up the opportunity to just stay out there and practice at altitude in Denver or somewhere out there, and then just go on to Mexico City, which is an altitude game. It's even higher than Denver. I think that could benefit them. And then that stretch there where it's five road games in a six-game stretch, that's formidable, you know, for any team. I don't care how good you are. When you're basically on the road for a month and a half, that can kind of wear you down. That can kind of be a hurdle. But if there's any team that's, you know, proven its mettle and its ability to get through anything like that, it's Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots. So, you know, the thing that really jumped off the schedule to me was the Chiefs game. I'm kind of bored with it. It's lackluster.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know, it'll be fun because it's the Thursday night opener and the banner will be unveiled and you'll see all the, you know, they're doing a lot of construction at Gillette Stadium. They're putting a new turf field in and all that. You'll see everything there. And then when the game starts, it's sort of like, oh, Alex Smith, Andy Reid, what do you do? they'll probably fail on the road. So that jumped out to me. I was really hoping for the Falcons rematch. Yeah. And I guess the Panthers complained last year they didn't think it was fair, which I'm not a big if you want to be fair, win the game, and then you can host the opener. If you don't, then shut your mouth and go where they tell you to go. So I think the Falcons should be here on that Thursday night opener.
Use your crystal ball a year from now. Where is Jimmy Garoppolo?
A year from now. So we are, what, May 1st, a year from now? Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say he's still a New England Patriot. I don't know where this is going. I don't know where the road sort of forks and these two quarterbacks diverge. But I can tell you this. The New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, really likes Jimmy Garoppolo. They believe Jimmy Garoppolo is a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. They believe Jimmy Garoppolo could lead this team to a Super Bowl this year if something happened to Tom Brady. So I think they are tiptoeing into this water here of how much does Brady have left? Does Brady really want to play another 6 years? Can he really play another 6 years? So I think they're going to push off the decision of having to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo for as long as possible. And maybe that ends up with Brady being the odd man out. I don't know. But I think they're going to try to keep the two together for as long as possible. And that means they'll franchise them next February. And while it looks like a ridiculous thing on paper to say, yeah, we're going to pay two quarterbacks $45 million, combined of our salary cap, like a quarter of the cap, they have it. You know, they're $20 million under the cap now. They'll probably roll some of that over into next year. And, you know, that's the Jimmy Garoppolo fund to franchise him and keep him around as long as possible so you're not kicking yourself later.
Bears fans would kill for that kind of problem.
Yeah, no question. I mean, there's a lot of those teams, the 49ers, the Jets, the Bears, the Bills, you know, teams that would say, we can't find one quarterback. Those jerks in New England got two. And I think the Patriots know how hard it is, and that's why they're holding on to them. They don't ever want to be one of those teams. And, you know, you look back at one of the famous quotes Bill Belichick had when the year that Peyton Manning got hurt in Indy and the Colts ended up getting the number one overall pick the next year. And he had some pretty pointed comments when he said how that was irresponsible and we would never, you know, be so irresponsible as to not be prepared at the quarterback position so that the team falls apart when one guy goes down. And I think that's what he's proving now. He's going to do whatever it takes to keep Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's going to do whatever it takes to try to ensure that the Patriots are not one of those teams that are trading up for Mitch Trubisky at the beginning of some draft and crossing their fingers.
He's Andy Hart, assistant editor, Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, or as we call him, the People's Choice here in New England. Andy, great talk with you, as always.
I'm going to say I'm the People's Champion. I didn't win, but I'm the People's Champion anyway.
There's no doubt about it. I think so. Absolutely. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
You got it. It's 5:44 here on Downtown. Andy Hart, of course, runner-up to Bryan Cranston in this year's Downtown Madness. He convincingly won the Boston bracket, thrashed everybody in Boston, including Giardi.
Yeah, by wide margins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And waltzed to the finals and then lost in a close race to Bryan Cranston as your Downtown Madness champion.